I don't want to set the world.
Because I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
To chase, at least for a moment, Trump and the maggots off the stage.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Rising Republic. I'm L. Douglas Hogan, your host, coming at you a little disappointed today, a little frustrated in our justice system. As it turns out, the Supreme Court is allowing the federal government to remove Texas border wire. In an article published by the Epoch Times, and this came out yesterday, January 22nd, so by the time you're reading this, it could be a couple days. It says this, the Supreme Court voted 5-4 to allow U.S. Border Patrol agents to remove razor wire that was set up along the U.S.-Mexico border by Texas Governor Abbott while a legal challenge plays out. So basically, it's temporary. Okay, here's my issue. In the meantime, while this drags on in court for God only knows for how long, illegals and terrorists and fentanyl and human traffickers and cartel and all kinds of other, we'll just say humans, we'll stop there. All kinds of other bad people are going to be crossing over that border. In a brief order, the High Court vacated a ruling issued in mid-December 2023 by the U.S. Supreme Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit Court. Justices Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh voted to deny the application to vacate the lower court injunction, which would have precedented Border Patrol agents from removing the barrier. Chief Justice John Roberts, along with Justice Amy Coney Barrett, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Elena Kagan, and Sonia Sotomayor, sided with the Biden administration. No one provided an explanation for their vote. I smell dirt. That's what I smell. I smell dirty, disgusting, globalist, if you want to call it politics in this. The order represents a win for President Joe Biden's administration, which has struggled to curb illegal immigration into the United States since he took office in 2021 amid an ongoing battle with Mr. Abbott, a Republican, over the border. The administration had filed an emergency request to the Supreme Court and argued that Texas was blocking federal agents from carrying out their duties. Okay, full stop. They have not been carrying out their duties. They have not been doing any duties. In fact, their argument, the federal government's argument, was that they were unable to get to a drowning family, which was mom and a daughter, mom and a son, I forget, drowned, and they were unable to get to them in some kind of park or some kind of place where there used to be a staging. People used to come over illegally and stage in this area, and somebody drowned, and they're saying they couldn't get to them. That's hogwash. It was later determined they had been drowned for a full hour before they even found out about it. The court's temporary ruling allows Biden to continue his illegal effort to aid the foreign invasion of America, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, a Republican, said Monday. The destruction of Texas border barriers will not help enforce the law or keep American citizens safe. He added in a post on X, formerly Twitter, "This fight is not over, and I look forward to defending our state's sovereignty." Folks, here's how I address the issue. First of all, the people coming over, that's an invasion. There's bad people in that group. Bad people. Fentanyl is an enemy of this country. It's killed adults. It's killed children. It's killed teenagers. It's bad. Not only is that coming into our country, but cartels and human traffickers, also enemies of this country. Terrorists are pouring over. We're talking thousands, tens of thousands of male military-aged people coming across the border. And trust me, there is a whole lot more, probably 10 to 1, of males crossing that border than there are females and children. And they're not asylum seekers, these individuals coming over. So you might, okay, what's an asylum seeker? Well, there's a process for asylum seekers. They have to be interviewed by immigration. They have to go through an interview process. They have to fill out an application. They have to show that there's credible fear and persecution or torture if they don't leave their country. You think that's happening? You think Mexico is torturing these millions of people that are coming over? You think that they're going to be tortured? You think that they're fleeing because they're afraid of persecution? No, it's a poor country. They just don't want to live there, so they come over here. So they want to make us poor. They're going to drive down our wages. They're not asylum seekers. They're not refugees. That, my friend, is just not true. So you might be wondering, well, what does the Constitution say? Well, in Article 3, I'm glad you asked, Section 3, this is talking about treason against the United States. It shall consist only in levying war against them, talking about the states, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. And what has the Biden administration been doing to these people? Allowing them to invade this country, and he is giving them aid and comfort. So you might be saying, okay, what else you got? What's Article 4 say? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because Article 4, Section 4 says the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. So the Biden administration is in violation of the United States Constitution. Each state has a right to protect itself and its country and its borders. The Biden administration is knowingly, willfully, and wantonly raising and taking down Constitutional wire, removing boundaries and borders, allowing these cartels, the fentanyl, these terrorists, allowing all these different individuals, all these different dangers to us, this invasion into this country. That makes him, in my book, a traitor. And that, to me, by definition, is treason. This is all wrong. The Supreme Court is wrong. And I don't care how they ruled on this, even a temporary halt on this, allowing them temporarily to take down the Constitutional wire or the federal government to remove it or lift it however. This is dangerous. If even one American is put at risk in this by this haphazard act, then it's against America. And here's how I like to explain it. Well, you're like, well, there's no way to know which one of them is bad. There's no way to know how many of these people are bad. Maybe most of them are good, but those are the ones we need. All right, look, if I give you a bag of Skittles and tell you that one of them is a deadly poisonous Skittle, but don't worry, you can have one or two or as many as you want. Are you even going to stick your hand into that bag and eat even one Skittle if it's going to end your life instantly? Because that's exactly what we're dealing with on a national front. On this Mexico-Texas border issue. They're pouring into this country. And they're not just one bad apple. There's many bad apples. They're very, very bad. Anyway, I digress. That is the most recent news from where I'm coming. I hope you enjoyed listening to the first 30 minutes of Died Suddenly. As promised, I brought that to you, hearing from the producers of that documentary that I could do this. So I'm going to run part two now. And I hope you pay attention to this. The rest of this will be another 30-minute segment. And then next week, I will have the final section, which is probably 10 minutes or so on that. So you get to hear more of my blubbering mouth. Anyway, thank you for listening. And I'll catch you again to say goodbye, to give you a hug and a squeeze, a kiss on the cheek. Because I love you guys. All right, you take care. And here's part two, Died Suddenly.
Provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Also be clear, the future is not just happening. The future is built by us.
Those people definitely have had tremendous influence and sway in this whole thing. And that is why they seemingly know how to hold these events and almost perfectly predict what's going to happen.
The Event 201 scenario is fictional, but it's based on public health principles, epidemiologic modeling, and assessment of past outbreaks.
An outbreak that circles the globe and affects people everywhere.
In other words, we've created a pandemic that could realistically occur.
I know we would all agree that if we had a vaccine in hand for CAPS, it'd be a game changer.
A majority of Americans expect a vaccine to be available within 2 months, and 65% of those polled are eager to take the vaccine, even if it's experimental.
Vaccinate, vaccinate, make an appointment. vaccine up inside my... Got that vaccine up inside my life.
Will we get our dose? Just please hurry.
I got nothing.
And come on, vaccine.
Trust in your healthcare.
Time for us to trust and not debate. The vaccine, believe it's safe to take.
And we will shoot 500 vials, and then we will skip 500 more.
We have a good time, you're the vaccine. Stick it in me.
And because you are in a war, because this is a fifth generation warfare for your hearts and your minds, it's done mostly by digits, right, through the computer and those kind of things. But it's also done with adjunct weaponry. And this adjunct weaponry in this case is a COVID jab.
They don't want you to know that your body is now their property and playground. And they will do with you what they feel like doing to you. And they will destroy your life if you don't take a lethal needle in your arm. And it is. It's the new bullet. It's the new missile. It's the new form of warfare. You don't need to fire a bullet and win a war.
I wanted people to understand that we're in a fifth generation warfare. Fifth generation is for the heart and the mind.
The United States government has been engaged in psychological operations on its own citizens for over 60 years. MK Ultra and Operation Mockingbird are just two of the declassified programs designed to manipulate the minds of Americans and the world. The majority of these operations occur in plain sight, with the purpose of gaslighting and undermining those who seek the truth and pose a threat to the agenda of the global elite. Just kidding, you conspiracy theorists. The government would never lie to you.
Read my lips.
Thank you.
Because we got a call regarding you coming over here multiple times, and it seems like they don't want to talk to you.
Well, now it seems that way because she called the police on me.
Okay.
You should always be suspicious if the people in charge of safety don't want to see the safety data. That should be a red flag. I couldn't understand why people aren't looking at this data. Even the clinical trial for the Pfizer vaccine showed that the vaccine killed more people than the placebo group. It's supposed to be the other way around.
So what's your name?
My name is Steve Kirsch.
Steve Kirsch?
Yes.
Okay. Where do you work? What do you work for?
I'm a journalist for Substack.
Substack?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have about close to a million followers on Substack.
So I've been called an anti-vaxxer. I've been called a misinformation spreader. MIT has labeled me a misinformation super spreader. And in fact, if you go Google, you type in misinformation super spreader, I'm the top hit in the entire world. Why am I labeled a misinformation super spreader? I have no history at all of being a conspiracy theorist. How do I go from being, hey, you should get vaccinated, waving the flag to I love Tony Fauci, to saying, oh, wow, we've been lied to. How did that happen? I was vaccinated in March of 2021. My wife was vaccinated and all my kids were vaccinated. So you couldn't call me an anti-vaxxer. I've always gotten all these vaccines that the government has recommended. I've always trusted the government. And then I started hearing stories from my friends. So one person said that she asked me if the vaccines were safe. And I said, of course they're safe. And I said, why are you asking me this question? I mean, like, you know, have you not turned on the news? Like, where have you been? She said, well, three of my relatives were vaccinated and they died a week later. And they were all perfectly healthy before they got the vaccine. And I said, well, that's impossible. That must be wrong. And then she replied, Yeah, but they're dead.
Is it really safe? And is it really effective?
These vaccines are safe. They are incredibly effective.
Vaccines are safe and effective.
Getting a booster different from your original vaccination is likely safe and effective.
But if there's one message that needs to cut through all this, the vaccines are safe. I promise you, they are safe and effective.
Researchers have confirmed that the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID vaccine is safe and effective.
This is what you don't see. This.
Surprisingly, most people don't want to know what's in the vaccines. In fact, nobody wants to know what's in the vaccines because nobody in Congress is asking to analyze the vials. Nobody in the mainstream media has ever asked what's in the vials. And the public doesn't want to know either because the public's not asking what's in these vaccines. If people understood what was in the vaccine, they'd go apeshit.
The first one is a typical package insert that we see with any vaccine. When you open the box, next to the vial, you find a package insert that has information about what the product contains. And this is a typical vaccine insert from a vaccine that helps protect against meningitis. It's a more traditional childhood vaccine. And the other label that I'm going to show you, the other package insert, came from a box of mRNA product. So vaccine that was brought to the clinic for the purpose of giving that to children. And this should look the same as the other package insert that I showed you. But yet when we open it almost 2 years into this, we find that it still says intentionally blank.
And it, I mean, they're allowed to, under emergency authorization, put anything in them they want. And the FDA isn't inspecting any of these facilities. The European Medicine Agency allowed the purity to go from 100% requirement down to 50%. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the shot rollouts, you hear, oh, okay, we don't have to worry about this cold chain. So now you've got degrading products, which probably benefited some people in the sense that they broke down so fast that they got basically some mushy fat and sludge and dodged the bullet. But the ones who got the proper dose at the proper temperature are probably the ones that got harmed the most. I mean, how much do they care? They're making billions.
The mRNA was the technology, but we had less experience, only 2 years working on this. And actually, mRNA was the technology that never delivered a single product until that day. Not vaccine, not any other medicine. So it was very counterintuitive, and I was surprised when they suggested to me that this is the way to go.
You know, Steve Kirst, by the way, has a great offer out there for your listeners. I don't know if you know about this.
No.
His offer is anybody from any major academic medical center or any government agency who will come to the table and have a fair discussion on vaccine safety and efficacy, he'll pay him $2 million.
Anybody?
I offered $1 million, not to win the debate, just to come to the table, $1 million. And when they refused the $1 million, I said, okay, name your price. Is $5 million? $10 million? $100 million? What will it take for us to have a civil discussion on the record? On the record, on recorded, where we can go through the evidence in the Veris system and other pieces of data so that we can have an open discussion about this. So the Veris is a voluntary reporting system. And it was created this way because the drug companies negotiated with the government to say, the government said, we will give you liability protection for your vaccines. But the quid pro quo is that we're going to establish this vaccine adverse event reporting system, which of course they could have done anyway. We have a Veris system in the United States. The system in Israel was even worse. In March, these researchers came to the Israeli Ministry of Health and said, hey, we got a problem here. Basically, they're told that the vaccines are killing and hurting people, and you're withholding that information from the Israeli people.
So the latest Israeli vaccination studies are out, and Steve Kirsch says the results prove that the government was lying all along about the frequency of adverse events from COVID shots. Shocker.
I sent an email to over 200, close to 300 people at the CDC asking if any of them wanted to see the data.
Okay.
Almost 300 people. Not a single person wanted to see the data at the CDC. Stu, I have the personal cell phone for Grace Lee, who is the chair of the ACIP committee, which is the outside committee of the CDC. I asked if she wanted to see the data. She ignored me.
Did they explicitly tell you no, or did they just ignore you?
No, they just ignore me.
Have you been to this house before?
I have, yeah.
And for the same reason?
Yeah, so let her to contact her. Because she's not reachable. She's not reachable in her office. She doesn't answer her cell phone. Her assistant doesn't answer her email.
That committee is responsible for approving and being the outside independent source for approving these vaccines.
How did ACIP recently come to the decision to recommend COVID-19 shots for this latest group of young kids? And what kinds of things were you looking for in the data?
We got a call regarding you coming over here multiple times, and it seems like they don't want to talk to you.
Well, now it seems that way because she called the police on me.
Okay. You know, I think we need to recognize that COVID-19 is here to stay, that vaccines are make for a safer and more reliable way to develop immunity against infection.
But now it's very clear that she's actively avoiding the question of whether she wants to see the Israeli data that shows the vaccines are not safe. That's pretty serious.
Okay, well, it seems like she's not interested, so.
How in the world could anyone, especially the top person in the world responsible for safety, not want to see the safety data that shows that the vaccines are not safe? They don't want to be confronted with even the question, do you want to see the data? They want to have plausible deniability.
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market?
Did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? No.
Pfizer vaccine not only stops people from getting sick, but also stops them from spreading the virus to other people.
One vaccine could curb virus transmission from just a single dose.
They're stopping people also from transmitting the disease.
And the chances are very likely that you'll not be able to transmit it to other people.
Yes, it will protect you, but honestly, it's not for you. It's so you don't kill other people. It's so you don't spread it to other people. 114 million Americans, nearly half the adult population in this country, has had a vaccine shot already. 114 million of us have had it. The number of people who have died from getting the shot is zero.
There are about 14,000 Americans who have reported deaths. Now, that's probably underreported by a factor of 100. So you take the 14,000 deaths that are reported in the VAERS system, multiply it by 100, you get 1.4 million. But the deaths that happened 5 months later, and that's the bulk of them, are not going to get reported in the VAERS system.
Woman has died in what's believed to be South Australia's first case of fatal blood clotting caused by the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine.
Investigation is underway tonight over whether a local man suffered blood clots as a result of getting the Pfizer vaccine.
Two
two teachers who were at Soames Elementary School for more than 20 years and passed away suddenly this school year.
Therapeutic Goods Administration is calling for calm following the deaths of two people in our state who received the COVID vaccine.
Woodgrove High School student athlete Colette Bain passed away unexpectedly after a medical emergency. A 20-year-old nursing student died of cardiac arrest one day after getting the mandatory.
The 16-year-old had a cardiac arrhythmia.
High school cheerleader who died suddenly.
Conclusions over the death of a woman from blood clots after receiving the COVID
vaccine. Queensland man is in intensive care tonight, suffering a blood clot after receiving his AstraZeneca vaccine.
Over whether a local man suffered blood clots as a result.
Due to a blockage in an artery.
With medical experts confirming the death of a Central Coast woman is likely linked to the jab.
I said, we're just going to have to get used to this. And he says, the shots. And I said, yeah, we're just going to have to get used to this. This is the way it is. If people keep doing this, then this is going to keep happening.
The vaccine can kill you two different ways. It can kill you in the short term. Now, there's a longer term effect. And this takes 5 months to kill you. And this is when your veins are basically clogged up with this amyloid protein material that's not blood clots. Now, the timing of when the embalmers first started seeing these blood clots, mid-2021.
So many miles on my car, you know, it seems like half of my time is driving from one funeral home to another. The busiest I ever was, to be honest, was January of 2021. Now, I didn't even think about it being related to the vaccine at all at the time. Looking back, I say, no wonder they died of a heart attack or a stroke or some kind of a pulmonary embolism, because you can't live with this stuff in you.
Probably do about 160 funerals a year. So I've been waiting for a young person that died suddenly, who'd also had a post-mortem, and then the family had asked me to embalm. So there are three planets that needed to align. And this poor guy of 30, he was full of it. It was hanging out of him like spaghetti.
This one here came out of the aorta from the heart. They take the shape of the vessels that they're growing in totally, and they gradually fill the vessels as they grow. And these, obviously, that's what's killed him.
Hey, I just want to let you know I'm pulling into the funeral home here, and I've got some guys that are with me. Are you fine with me bringing them in? Get it all.
This is not normal. Look at the size of this one. The big one came out of the vein. The small one came out of the iliac artery itself.
Wow.
As the months passed by, the clots became worse, and each person, the quantity of them was much larger, and they were getting larger. We were doing an injection and drainage into the common carotid artery, and we were getting fluid in, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. We could not get any more fluid. We were not getting any drainage of any type.
That's a monster. Holy Jesus. Come on.
I believe the only way that a medical doctor could see this in the body is if they actually went internally into the body.
So this is coming out of a beating heart, right? Look at this. Tell me if it looks the same way.
So good for you to come in today. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Doc.
So I'm excited to get this thermal imaging scan, but before we do that, I want to learn a little bit more about your medical history. Tell me, you know, when this all started, these symptoms that you had.
Early August of this year, my legs started swelling. I was getting a lot of pain from the crotch area all the way down to the ankle. They did a Doppler on it, and I had several clots in my leg.
Oh, wow.
So I was transported to the hospital, and they confirmed that, and also that I had a clot in my lungs.
So you went into the hospital, they put you on a blood thinner, presumably?
Yes, I got put on Eliquis when I was being released, and come to find out, the Eliquis did not work for me.
Okay, and did they let you know that that is extremely rare?
Every doctor I saw said it was extremely rare.
Which side did you get the shot in? Which arm?
I think it was both.
Do you think it could have been the left for both of them? Because you got two, right?
Yeah, it could have been the left.
Because the left arm definitely looked it had much higher thermal signal than the right. Yeah, so we can see the left side of his face has a much stronger thermal image, and then the white is also extremely hot. And this is in the area of the pre and post auricular lymphadenopathy chain. And then the tonsillar is also very well lit up. Submandibular, submental.
The left side was the one where he has confirmed clots. The right side here is showing significant issues with the vascular system.
So I would recommend referring for an ultrasound of the lower extremities bilaterally to rule out any kind of new clotting or venous obstructions.
Hello?
Hi, Michelle. This is Nick and Matthew. How are you?
I'm good. So before the vaccines came out, there were 1 to 2 fetal demises every 2 or 3 months. You would see one. I finally had enough when I got this email the other day. It said that there was a record number of fetal demises and that there were 22 of them in 1 month. And in this email, it said that it's projected to increase each month.
The fetal demise in mothers, gestational mothers, in that 22 to 26 week period, I had a run of that in my funeral home. And 5 of the 6 were vaccinated. The other had remdesivir, and they all lost their infants.
We're just seeing a fridge full of babies, but we're not actually doing the funeral. So that's a mystery to me as to where these babies are going.
So are you saying there's more fetuses in the refrigerators now than there was prior to 2021?
Yeah, I'm saying there's more fetuses now in the refrigerator than I've seen ever before.
I've been doing high-risk obstetrics for 43 years. I see a vast number of patients a year. I don't know of any other maternal fetal medicine physician in this country that sees as many patients as I do by ultrasound. At one point in time this year, I was on track to see 9,000 high-risk OB ultrasounds. So I know what's going on, and I've seen death and destruction like I've never seen before.
The stillbirth rate is measured in terms of live births per thousand. And really it's come down in my career from about 10 to about almost 5.8 or 6. Now let's go to 2021 and look at the stillbirth rate for Michelle's. This is horrifying. But if you take this death figure and you look at that rate at 29.3, that sigma that you're looking at is 40 plus sigma, standard deviation. Let that sink in. This is from Waterloo, Canada. 83 stillbirths, about 4,000 deliveries. That exact same thing you saw with Michelle's. If that weren't bad enough, look at this. I couldn't even put it. There were 13 dead fetuses in one 24-hour period. One 24-hour period.
1,200-fold increases in menstrual abnormalities. And then when we get into pregnancy, we're looking at a substantial increase in miscarriages, in birth defects, a substantial risk of fetal cardiac arrhythmia, fetal cardiac malformations, significant fetal growth slowing, significant reduction in amniotic fluid, fetal cardiac arrest.
Are you saying babies are having heart attacks in the womb?
Yes. The vaccine causes a significant inflammatory effect.
Three different safety monitoring systems. Again, they found no significant safety signals for the mother or for the fetus, because we have to remember in obstetrics, we're dealing with two patients.
So no increased risks to be vaccinated while pregnant.
Anything that causes inflammation in my business, in my area of expertise, causes damage, injury, death, and destruction in pregnancy. We've known that for half a century.
On March 1st, the FDA released the first round of thousands of pages of data submitted by Pfizer for review of their COVID-19 vaccine.
It's the 5.3.6 post-marketing analysis of the adverse events, in which they outlined that 83% of all pregnant women who got vaccinated ended up with a dead baby. They had 270 pregnancies. They could not account for what happened to 238 of those pregnancies, and the remaining pregnancies resulted in a dead baby. And they only had one normal outcome.
And originally the documents were going to take 55 years to be released, but because of a court order, we'll get all of the documents by year's end.
All right, I told you I'd come back. That's a wrap for Died Suddenly Part 2. I'll see you guys next week. I want to thank everybody for joining today and listening to The Rising Republic with L. Douglas Hogan. Y'all come back now, you hear?